There's our 8 a.m. Rooster Coffee Pour. That means it's Rosie on the House Saturday mornings. We're in the outdoor living hour with John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery, talking gardening, landscapes, lawns, outdoor living in general. To join the conversation or ask your questions, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to get in. Generally, you would speak to Jennifer, but we have... Is Stephanie from the Walter Cronkite School?
Yes, she is.
Of broadcasting
yes,
at ASU?
Yes, she is.
We have her, our standard fill-in for call screening. Mom's on her way back from a cheer competition.
I think we stole her. I think she was interning at an office at Walter Cronkite. I think she's actually she's a physicist or a chemist.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. Uh-huh. It's something like that. We were trying to post.
Well, that makes
we
sense.
We were trying to post the job offer at the School of Journalism, and she saw it and said, well, I'm going to take this job.
Got it.
I'm glad she
got
did.
Got stealth
I'm
in
glad
there.
She did. Well, she's there to take your call.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text into 411-923 with a question as well. No pictures, which is unfortunate for the garden hour. There's so many times where, man, if we could just see what you're talking about. But you can email that to info@rosieonthehouse.com. We monitor all three of those communication avenues during the broadcast for you, the Arizona homeowner. Oh, and Saba tickets. Okay.
Saba Home Show coming up. And we have a bunch of tickets. How do you want to give them away?
I don't care.
Everybody
from
Tucson. If
you want to go and you're listening,
yeah.
Email.
Email us your address, and we'll mail you packets of four as long as they last. So we have quite a few here. So a
couple hundred.
If you'd like to, if you'd like to go to the Saba Home Show down in Tucson, then
now if
what?
You don't get the tickets, you still can go.
First come,
but then
first,
it's a $5 admission or $8 admission,
something like that. First come, first serve.
Sounds good. Email to info@rosieonthehouse, subject line Saba. Make sure you have the address where you'd like the ticket sent. We'll send you four. But let's get to gardening. It is too pretty outside to let this weather go to waste.
Wow. Yeah, kind of interesting going back to your last hour. I had an interesting chore or project here a month or two ago. An architect friend of mine, they were restoring or redoing a historic building, and they wanted to actually do the landscape in also the historic genre of the building. So she called me knowing that, you know, I grew up here and knew plants of the 60s and 70s and early 80s, which were...
Some of which you can't legally sell anymore.
Well, no, true. Some of you can't legally, and a lot of them you just don't see anymore. We've switched to so many different new varieties and drought-tolerant varieties, and even though some of what we had back in those days were still pretty drought-tolerant, but we just landscaped differently. Big lawns and headerboard and flower beds or planting beds and the design. But it was an interesting project to think about, okay, what did we?
If you know, I'm thinking 60s backyards, I'm thinking pyracantha, yep, oleanders,
yep,
and...
A mulberry.
mulberry. That's
mulberries.
It. That's it. Yes, that's exactly it.
You know, the list is pretty, you start thinking, but yeah, pyracanthas, mulberries, lots of junipers, lots of arborvitas, evergreens. But, you know, you get into shadier areas. We use lots of photinia and viburnum, and it's a pretty long list, but it's certainly different. And, you know, even back then, though, we had cassia and palo verde and a number of those things as well. But it was kind of a cool project. But digressing back
For those of you that may have missed the last hour, we don't broadcast it on all of our affiliates. It's a new hour to Rosie on the House, just over a year old. You can go to rosieonthehouse.com and get the podcast. But we were talking about historic homes.
Celebrating the Historic Preservation Act of 1966.
Thank you. I knew I wasn't going to get that right.
We had Dr. David Dean in from Grand Canyon University, and we were visiting about the act itself, as well as some of the interesting buildings located throughout Arizona. He had the backstory on all of them.
Cool. But the weather is absolutely perfect for gardening chores, whatever, mm-hmm, whether it may be planting trees, shrubs, vines. We're still right in the middle of spring vegetable gardens and vegetable planting, and we're starting to switch planting the your annual color from, you know, winter things like geraniums and petunias and pansies to vinca and moss rose and those types of things. So lots of stuff going on. Great time to be fertilizing, great time to be applying pre-emergent herbicides. Make sure you're watching your weeds. Don't let them get big. You know, we had all that rain early January. Gosh, we haven't had rain in a long time, but we had a lot of rain in November, December, and January, and then it warms up. A lot of those annual weeds and grasses are blooming. You do not want to let them or grow in, you germinating. You don't want to let them get too big and go to seed. You want to pull them, control them, spray, whatever your choice of getting rid of those is. Olive trees are getting ready to bloom. If you want to prevent, if you have an old olive tree, so it would have had to been planted, a producing olive would have had to been planted probably prior to, the mid-80s anyway. You're going to watch those blooms, watch those flowers. There's a picture of it on our website if you want to go to it. And they're not quite open yet, but they're getting close. And you can apply a product that will keep those from setting fruit. Olives are one of those things that can be a bit of a nuisance if that tree hangs over a driveway or a sidewalk or something like that.
Something you want clean.
Yeah, it does kind of get a little messy if they get squashed and the birds eat them and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, so be watching for that. Powdery mildew on roses, starting to see a bit of that. Of course, aphids, you know, something that shows up every spring. The critters like spring as well as we do. So lots of activity of different kinds of bugs and pests and things in the garden, as well as opportunity to control them.
And bugs and pests and in controlling.
Well,
let's walk through that.
So it depends on what they're on.
As warm as it is, and with as much flower bloom and everything going, I mean, we're going to have a heck of a bug season, I think.
Yeah, you could well be right. But the you have to evaluate, number one, what are they on? Number two, how much damage are they doing? Is it worth messing with? So, for instance, aphids on oleanders, which are pretty common. You get a yellow aphid on oleanders. Well, unless that oleander is hanging over your patio and those aphids are maybe excreting lots of honeydew on your patio furniture, causing it to be messy and sticky, they're probably not going to damage it. You know, if the oleander is a big hedge, privacy hedge out in the back of your backyard, probably not worthy of worrying too much about it. However, if you got aphids, you know, on your vegetables, your brand new tomato plants, you know, you might want to try and get them off of there. So we evaluate what the pest is on, and number two, is it going to do some kind of damage that we need to control? So always best to bring samples into the garden center or the nursery. Make sure that, you know, hey, what is this? You know, the hardest thing and probably the worst thing, and actually can be technically illegal, is to misdiagnose or misprescribe something to spray or clear up an insect or disease problem. So it really shouldn't be over the phone with hearsay, what we call hearsay evidence. You need to take a bug or take a picture of it or something with technology today to that person in that nursery and let them have a look at it. Also, they need to know what's the bug on. Like we said, is it on an old oleander hedge or is it on your brand new tomato plant? So you really need to see these things visually, as you were saying. We can't send pictures. And this is a visual business. It's a visual industry. We're dealing with landscape, with plants, with beauty, with vegetables, that sort of thing. Really hard to correctly diagnose and prescribe without seeing it.
And you had said a couple weeks ago we're about a month ahead, which seems about
like,
right, because this Palo Verde right outside the window here is already in bloom, and usually That's April, May indication.
Yeah. Rose bushes, you know, usually, you know, Easter's really early this year. It's next weekend. And so people that have roses in that, the good thing is they're going to have lots of color for Easter, where sometimes this early roses aren't even in bloom yet. They're starting to bloom. A lot of things really, really pushing out and peaking early, which all that growth means you need to make sure you're also keeping things well fertilized. We've had lots of people with a lot of leaf drop on tropicals and subtropicals, hibiscus, citrus, all those types of things that are pushing new growth, starting to bloom heavily. takes a lot of energy out of that plant. That plant will also slough then a lot of those old leaves while it's doing that. Some of that's very normal, but you also want to make sure the plant is in good nutrition, good health. Make sure you're fertilizing adequately. Of course, your roses are growing. They need to be fed once a month now that they're pushing new growth and starting to bloom. Great time to be feeding. Winter lawns starting to fade earlier, too. My winter lawn, I've kind of let it. I'm kind of doing it on purpose, but I'm already transitioning my winter lawn. It's probably half gone already. And here we are the middle of March instead of almost the 1st of May.
That's my weekend. I was hoping to get to last weekend, but that didn't happen. We have we usually try and keep it till the second week of May when we're done with our birthday parties. And then we'll go to Bermuda, and then we try and keep the Bermuda till the end of September for Roxy's birthday. Well, after our conversation a couple of weeks ago, I'm not sure this ride is going to last into May. So we need to get on.
Unless you just really want to crank the water up.
No, not really.
You know, so that's the question mark you have now when we start getting in the mid to upper 80s with cool season grasses. Is you could keep it looking good, but it's going to take a lot more water. That's usually my indication. I don't change the water, and I see what happens. When it starts to stress out, then I just kind of push it and force it out.
That's a whole lot of water for something that's going to die in 3 or 4 more weeks anyway.
So if you transition it now, you'll have a great Bermuda lawn by then.
Perfect. When we get back, we're going to bring Kenny into the conversation. He wants to talk about cottonwood trees. And an open line for you at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.